listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
That's right, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. You can always listen to this show on the iHeartRadio app and wherever you are taking part in the program. We appreciate a few minutes of your time. It is National Championship Monday here on Fox Sports Radio. The next 60 minutes dedicated to nothing but the national championship game. RJ Bell is out. I am Jonas Knox alongside Brad Powers, college football, college basketball expert, plus a little tease ahead. Prognosticator. All right. In fact, I would say he's a modern day Mrs. Cleo at this point in time. So Brad Powers is here. Steve Fezzik is here. NFL, NBA expert. So we're going to have a ton of fun looking back at the Final Four, looking ahead to the national championship game. And we get it started by taking a peek at what right now is a little bit of a surprising number, I would think, guys, because we've got Texas Tech and Virginia tipping off at 9:20 Eastern time. Right now, Virginia is a 1.5-point favorite. And Brad Powers, the over-under is 119. Is that for the first half, or is that actually for the entire game? What are we looking at here?
Well, if you've been listening to the mainstream media all day, Jonas, you probably heard defensive slugfest tonight set a time or two. And what we do best here in Vegas is we give you the numbers. And that 119 total, if that sounds low, it's because it is low, historically low. The lowest total, and that's total points scored by both teams here, lowest total we've seen in a national championship game for college basketball since 1985, Georgetown-Villanova game. And that, keep in mind, guys, that was before there was a shot clock and before there was a three-point line in college basketball. So, and not only is it the lowest, Jonas, it's the lowest by nearly 10 full points. Historically low total we had tonight between Virginia and Texas Tech.
And the fact that I'm showing here that it opened up at 121, so people, is it people actually betting this down to get to this point?
Yeah, what happened, Jonas, is that the second that this came up, especially after both semis went way under the total, the pros were all over the under. They bet it down to 120, 119, 118. It actually came all the way down to 117.5. But here we are in game day. Now some money's coming back on the over, pushing it back up to 119.
Yeah, it is. Fascinating to see how this is going to progress. Now, please tell me, you guys, look, Brad, you've forgotten more about college basketball and football than anybody listening right now. I don't ask for a lot on this show, all right? I don't think this is too much to ask. If I got to sit through Butler UConn Part 2, I'll lay in my vomit until the morning time. I can't deal with that. Please tell me we're going to get a better game than that. Please.
You know, I'm all about, I don't care how the game's played as long as I got a winning ticket. So, you know, the game flow, if I bet the under, then bring it on.
All right.
UConn, Butler.
Fair point.
Here we go.
All
That'd
right.
be a beautiful game. But, you know, I'll say this, the line, the side in the game, Virginia favored by 1.5 or so, it says we're going to at least get a competitive game. And let's face it, we've seen some ultra-competitive games each of Virginia's last two games, whether it be the Purdue game or the Virginia game, those two games coming down to the wire.
You know, pursuant to what you're saying about this being a close game, there is a prop. What's the largest lead going to be in this game? And it's 11.5. And I got to tell you, I always look at these props in college basketball games. I don't think I've ever seen a largest lead prop as low as 11.5. And what that's saying is that this should be a very entertaining close game.
So think about that, Jonas. At no point pretty much in the game, at least at that current line, is pretty much saying, hey, this is going to be pretty, for the most part, played within single digits. Now, I'll go back to the total. I think a lot of that largest lead has to do with, hey, points are going to be at an absolute premium to begin with. Therefore, we don't see a lot of high variance as far as the largest lead of the game goes.
And now, I'm a dummy. That's clear. That's clear and obvious. And for people out there listening to this right now and you think you're bad at gambling, trust me, I got a couple of doozies for you coming up later on in the show. I'm terrible at it. But when I see when you guys say the point total, largest point difference during the course of the game is 11.5, my initial instinct in that is, oh, well, if these are two good defensive teams and the betting line on the game is 1.5 right now, why wouldn't you bet the under? That seems like a lot. You're telling me that that's actually low for a national championship game?
Yeah, what happens is just through natural variance, oftentimes one team or the other can get ahead by double digits, by 12 points. Look at Michigan State, Texas Tech. That was a pretty close game the whole way, but Texas Tech did get a 12-point lead, so the over 11.5 would have cashed in that game.
And also the other semifinal, Jonas, that game was a relatively competitive game, but yet at 1 point, 5 minutes left, believe it or not, Virginia, not Auburn, Virginia was actually leading that game by double digits, by 10 points. So really, 11 points is not asking for much. I mean, usually, Fez, and I'll defer to you because you're the expert, usually we see this right around almost every game is at least 14 or more when it comes to largest lead.
Yeah, usually like a game that's closely lined to pick them, we'll see 14 for the expected largest lead.
Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up at the end of the show, before we go off the air, we will have best bets on the national championship game. Some things to look at if you want to make a little bit of cash on a Monday night while watching this game. Don't go anywhere. That's coming up later on here on Straight Out of Vegas. But you know what, guys? I don't think that... I don't think taking a bow is a bad thing when you've earned it. And take a bow, Brad Powers, because you have earned it. Brad Powers was the first one to throw this out there last week. And like many people who throw out a conspiracy theory, the initial response is, all right, flat earther, get out of here. Okay, UFOs exist. Bigfoot, I get it. Loch Ness Monster, all that stuff. But Brad Powers said last week here on Straight Out of Vegas, in a tight game, he wonders how it's going to be officiated between Auburn and Virginia because there's some stuff looming with the Auburn basketball program. And lo and behold, after discussing it, after talking about that here on Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio, RJ Bell said this on Friday before we went off the air.
Virginia, Auburn, that game is not going to be called tight. It is going to be physical. At some point, you're going to hear the announcer say, boy, they're letting them play today, Fred. And if you hear that, you'll know, poor Auburn. And you might think I'm joking or we're having fun. Fezzik, because of the possibility the NCAA putting the thumb on the scale, you won't consider betting Auburn.
Exactly. And I want to bet against Virginia, but I will not bet Auburn.
And what do we have happen? End of the game, controversy, not called the same way all the way throughout. Brad Powers, take a bow. Everyone mocked you. Everyone said you were insane. You, sir, have just pulled off a modern-day classic bleep you to everybody else who doubted you, as we saw controversy at the end of that game.
Now, look, that was just a pure conspiracy theory there. I just said, hey, if push comes to shove late in the game, if it's, you know, if there's kind of a call that could go either way, I would expect more often than not that Virginia would get the benefit of the call over an Auburn team. And the conspiracy theory about Auburn was this team's got, you know, surrounding the FBI allegations. They had a suspended player all last year. They've had to get rid of a couple assistant coaches, including an assistant coach right before the SEC tournament. And they don't want the NCAA, their national champion, with everything hanging over them, at least with an entire offseason, that being the number one story in the offseason. So what happens? RJ's right. He's the one that came up with that one. The game was going to be called. They're going to let them play and let them play. They did. There was only 24 fouls called in the entire game. But when it came down to the final second, you got give the official credit for having the fortitude to call a foul on a last second shot when all game long they were letting them play, Fez. You're buying into this conspiracy now. You were a skeptic at first.
Yeah, I bought into it. And I got to tell you, it's a lot easier for a ref to call that foul at the end game. The ref knows, hey, I don't want to decide the game. But it's a lot easier to call the foul on Auburn, isn't it, than to have called it on Virginia had the situations been reversed. And I get it. We go back in high definition, slow motion. Okay, it was a foul. Well, guess what? it was a double dribble also that they missed. It's easy when it's in high definition and slow motion. Bottom line is that's a call that typically, in my opinion, does not get made in the end game.
And also, I think, Brad, you spotted this last year with the NCAA tournament when you guys were doing Straight Out of Vegas, the weekend version here on Fox Sports Radio, when you talked about how Michigan State was seeded based on what happened earlier in the year for them.
Yeah, and what happened, Michigan State had that Larry Nassar thing hanging over their program that was getting headlines day and night. And Michigan State was a team that their resume coming in the NCAA tournament said, hey, this Michigan State team probably should be a one seed, maybe a two. And what did the NCAA committee do? They gave Michigan State vastly underseeding them and gave them a really tough draw. Michigan State was out of the tournament early. Same thing happened with Auburn this year. Auburn just wins the SEC tournament. So you're thinking, hey, this Auburn team who's red hot, three seed, okay, four seed at worst. No, NCAA committee not only gives Auburn a five seed, but then ships them out to Salt Lake City for their first game in the early start time on Thursday after Auburn just had to play on Sunday. And look at the opponents they stacked against Auburn. Oh, let's see. What blue bloods can we – what are the three or four blue bloods in college basketball? Oh, okay, Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky. Yeah, don't think for one second that the NCAA didn't at least, kind of underseed Auburn and was thinking this whole FBI thing in the back of their mind.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, we've been saying this for years with Duke, that the NCAA always wants Duke to make the Final Four. And typically Duke gets the good draw and Duke gets the favorable calls in the final 2 minutes.
And that's why I felt this past season in college football. And I remember we even talked about this off the air. And I said, look, if it comes down to it and it's a close call, they're always going to go against whoever the team is opposite of Ohio State to get into the college football playoff because of all the stuff that happened with Urban Meyer. If Ohio State won a national championship and the storyline was, wow, you let this guy win a national title, it would have been a bad look. And for people that think that that's crazy, like you're pointing out, Brad, it happened to Michigan State, most likely happened here with Auburn, and I think definitely would have happened with Ohio State. That's just human nature. You don't want to reward somebody that you think isn't on the up and up, and I think that's what played out.
Yeah, and a lot of times we're not thinking that the officials are actually thinking about this as the game's going on. So what does the NCAA committee do, or whether it be an NBA commissioner, we go back to the David Stern days, they have the data in front of them. Hey, who are the most likely referees or officials that allow a team, they don't call as many fouls, or it's a team that's going to be an official that's most likely impacted by a home crowd or somebody getting involved in. That's what we're thinking when we're saying conspiracy theory here. We're not saying that, it's a Tim Donaghy situation where it's not cleanly on the up and up.
And I actually go one step further where it's certainly not fixed, but if Duke is playing Central Florida and I'm a ref in the game and there's seconds remaining and I think Duke went over the back against Central Florida, I am not going to call a foul unless it's obvious that it's a foul on Duke there.
And listen, there's nothing I want more than to have a Tim Donaghy part two. I mean, I'm telling you, like, you talk about getting us through the summer months. If we could have a scandal like that, that would be well worth the cost here on the show. All right, so it is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Again, you can check out the show on the iHeartRadio app. Jonas Knox, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik, RJ Bell is out, but we are in, and we are brought to you by Mako. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Mako today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. Up next, an injury could decide the winner of tonight's national championship game between Virginia and Texas Tech. Find out who it is next on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight Outta Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to the show, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. RJ Bell is out. I am Jonas Knox, alongside Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik. Coming up here in just a moment, we are going to tell you about how one injury could determine the winner of tonight's national championship game. But before we get to that, as we do on the daily here on Fox Sports Radio, with RJ Bell out, we go to the bullpen and we welcome in fill-in meteorologist Bradley Powers for the latest from the Las Vegas Strip.
Thank you, Jonas. Yeah, each and every day, we love bringing the fun of Vegas to you guys out there. And right now, on the Strip, The temperature is 87 degrees. That's not a misspeak. 87 degrees. And the neon is pumping. Back to you, Jonas.
Thank you, Bradley. And we turn it back over to Brad Powers now, because Brad, you have pointed this out, and it's something that going into tonight's game between Texas Tech and Virginia, that an injury could determine who the winner of this game is. Please explain why this is such a huge impact on the game and why you can take advantage of it as a bettor.
So the player in question is Texas Tech's forward, Tariq Owens. And you're going to first say, who? Tariq Owens? Let me tell you who Tariq Owens is nationally. If you're talking a defensive analytics statistic, Tariq Owens is actually number one in the country. And it's this simple. It's plus minus. Tariq Owens is plus 10.3 points as far as defensive plus minus. And basically what that means, Jonas, is for every 100 possessions that Tariq Owens isn't on the floor for Texas Tech, the Red Raiders give up 10.3 points more than what they would if Tariq Owens was on the floor. So all this talk about Texas Tech being this historically good defense, Texas Tech's best defender, Tariq Owens, rolled his ankle in the Final Four game, and he's going to play tonight, Tariq Owens. But Chris Beard, the head coach, had this to say the other day. He said, hey, if this is any other game this season, Tariq Owens is not going to play. To me, yeah, he's going to play tonight, but I highly, highly doubt he's going to be 100%. Therefore, I think this is the match. This is the injury that could decide tonight.
Yeah, and he not just rolled his ankle. It looked like his ankle bent over at 90 degrees. Lateral ankle sprain with a hyperextended knee.
Thanks, Dr. Fez.
And he hit his head.
By the way, that was impressive. We just had a meteorologist and a doctor pop on in the same segment, and neither one of them are qualified to do either, but they sounded professional.
Owen's still walking around in a walking boot, and that's bad news for Texas Tech's defense because, as Brad mentioned, he's a great defender. How good is he? Well, he's the rim protector, 2.5 blocks per game. He gets more blocks, Owens, for Texas Tech than the rest of the team combined.
And so while everybody else is trying to look at this game from different angles, I always think that what you guys do is fascinating because to us on the outside who aren't in Vegas, this is an example of how Vegas looks at a game like that. A guy maybe not a lot of people are talking about, a guy maybe not even being factored into the betting line. Brad, you're saying this is what Vegas does different than everybody else.
Exactly. And more often than not, Vegas is going to put a point total on an individual player. So if we're talking NFL, a guy like Aaron Rodgers is worth almost 10 points to the line. The most valuable quarterback in the history of the NFL, Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady, for example, is worth right around 7 points. A lot of it has to do with the replacement, the quality of the backup for New England being better than Green Bay. So what is Tariq Owens worth to a line? 1.5 points. But I'll say this. If Tariq Owens is even worth 1 point, I don't think it's factored into this line right now. This line of Virginia favored by 1.5 says Tariq Owens is 100% healthy. That's why I think it could be the factor of the game.
And that's because everyone expects Owens will play. But what's not factored in is I don't think anyone expects Owens is going to be fully 100%.
So he's their best defensive player, correct?
Yep.
And what you're saying analytically, maybe the best in the country.
Yep.
So then wouldn't that lead you to think, why not bet the over? I mean, wouldn't that be sort of an angle? And I know we're going to get into best bets and all that coming up later on in the show, but just if you're telling me the best defensive player is out, that leaves a big gap, or he's not going to be 100%. That leaves a big gap on Texas Tech's defense. Why aren't more people looking at this and going, oh, let me go bet the over then?
That's really, really sharp by Jonas. We are teaching Jonas something.
I'm telling you.
I don't know if that was sharp or a tease to my best bet, but the fact that Tariq Owens is going to be at least less than 100% or might not be out there as much as he normally is, that is 100% part of my number one factor on my best bet on tonight's game. I like the way you're taking that to the next level, Jonas. I'm proud of Jonas.
Okay, before you give me a round of applause, I've got a story coming up in about 10 minutes from now. I may get fired the moment this story leaves my lips. It is terrible. Just a terrible example of why you guys are good at what you do and I'm not good at what I do or try and do when it comes to betting. One of the things that we want to get into here on this game, again, Virginia, Texas Tech coming up 9:20 Eastern time here here on Straight Outta Vegas, Fox Sports Radio. Another angle on that game is the body of work and the look-ahead line. So, Steve Fezzik, you're as good as anybody when it comes to line movement, how it's going to go, why it's moving in that direction. The look-ahead line on this game, how does it relate to the body of work of both these teams as they head into tonight's championship game?
Yeah, so let's go ahead and get in our time machine and go back to Friday. We could actually bet on this hypothetical matchup. It was hypothetical at the time, Texas Tech, Virginia, on Friday before the weekend's games, and Virginia was -3.5. So let's think about this. What has happened since Friday? Well, each team has played one game and one game only, and one of the important players for Texas Tech, Tariq Owens, is not going to be 100%. So Virginia was -3.5. Maybe Virginia should be higher, right? Wrong. It's all the way down to Virginia -1.5.
Yeah, and let's talk about what a look-ahead line is, Jonas. Look-ahead is basically that hypothetical, like Fez mentioned. It's something you can't go and bet $100,000 on. So it's not 100% a true representation of what exactly that line's going to be, but at least gets you in that ballpark more often than not of, hey, here's where bookmakers are thinking the difference between these two teams are. And the fact that it's moved, a line like that's moved a couple of points this time of year when you have 35 other games of a sample size to choose from. A lot of times professional bettors, and Fez is the master at this, love to take advantage of that overreaction in the marketplace from just one game. And we've seen one here, an overreaction, at least from the line. Moving it 2 points after a one-game sample size is a big movement this time of year.
And an example of that would be during the NFL season. You may know what two teams are going to play next Sunday, but you can actually see what the early look-ahead line would be the Saturday before they play their final game before they meet. So you can actually look 8 days ahead of when they actually meet up. And then the line movement is based on what happens the next day and the game they actually play, injuries during the course of the week. And so that's sort of how you can get a sneak peek into what to expect. All right, guys. So straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Brad, not to play negative Nancy or anything like that, not to take a shot at any certain fan base or a university that's playing in a big-time game tonight, a university whose name rhymes with Virginia. But, Brad, you have been a little down on the Virginia Cavaliers in this tournament, even though they find themselves potentially right on the doorstep of a national championship and cutting the nets down. You are not as high on Virginia as others are.
Yeah, believe it or not, you got a team in Virginia that's made it all the way to the national championship. Couldn't even get out of the first game last year. And yet, even though Virginia's won 5 straight games, my Bauer ratings, I look at them before the tournament and where they are right now, I have downgraded Virginia. And to me, it makes a lot of sense. Let's look at Virginia's past so far. Virginia's trailing at halftime in the first round game against the 16 seed. When Virginia, of all the teams that should have motivation to beat a 16 seed, we've never seen one lose to one. And here we are yet again, Virginia struggles opening round. Virginia set up in a great spot against Oklahoma. Barely covers that game, you know, one bucket away from possibly not covering that one. Virginia gets a 12 seed in Oregon. Great path for Virginia. No, they almost lose. Virginia loses that game to the 12 seed Oregon Ducks. The Purdue game, Fez, you're great at this. What was Virginia's chances with about 5 seconds left in the game? Forget covering a 4.5-point spread. What was Virginia's chance to win that game against Purdue in the Elite Eight?
Right about 12%.
And yet, not only Virginia wins, but they cover the game in overtime. Overrated Virginia. And let's flash forward to Saturday night.
Yeah, so they're almost drawing dead against Auburn. They have less than a 5% chance, Virginia, to win that game down 4 with 12 seconds to play. Now, one person could argue, hey, they got it done. I would argue they were very lucky.
Yeah, and here's one thing that a pro looks at is power ratings. I mean, even though Virginia's gotten to the national championship game, on a per-game basis, Virginia's come up short by about 3 points per game, expectation being the Vegas line. So every game that Virginia's played so far, they come up on average 3 points per game short. So that's why I've downgraded the Cavaliers, Jonas.
I don't call this playing a devil's advocate here, or I call it, play a dork advocate here, because this is what dorks like me, who look at this stuff but not from a Vegas point of view, think about when it comes to Virginia. I don't know. They seem like a team of fate. They've had all these close calls, and everything's gone their way. Why wouldn't it just continue? that seems like the team I would roll with. That is honest to God how people like me think, which is why you guys in Vegas live where you live and we live where we live.
And the way I think of it is, hey, this team's gotten very, very fortunate in two games in a row. You know, just mathematically speaking, this can't continue game after game after game. Am I correct in that thought process, Fez?
You are correct. I think also a big part of it is that there's a feeling that not only did Virginia win, but that Purdue found a way to lose, and especially Auburn found a way to lose those games with some very unlucky events and some non-optimal decisions as well.
Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik in. RJ Bell is out. Coming up next, there is an interesting situation involving a lot of money depending on the outcome of tonight's game. We will have that for you coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
Guys, Aaron Rodgers is speaking out for the first time publicly since that Bleacher Report from a week ago, explaining his relationship with former head coach Mike McCarthy as being fractured, and also his relationship with former players. Rodgers says the report of Packers CEO Mark Murphy telling him, quote, "don't be the problem" in a phone call is, quote, "ridiculous and 100% patently false." Now, as for the relationship with McCarthy, Rodgers said even in disagreements, the sides agreed to move forward together, which included shaking hands after meetings and telling each other "I love you," and added that there was no festering years of stuff. Those are Rodgers' words. And as for the sources in the Bleacher Report story, Rodgers says it's always the, quote, "same two guys," end quote, referring to Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley, his former teammates in Green Bay. That's Rodgers speaking with ESPN. Wisconsin. Tonight, college basketball's national championship game is in Minneapolis, as you guys have been talking about, Virginia and Texas Tech at 9:20 Eastern. There's other college hoops news. Duke freshman point guard Trey Jones announced he's returning to the Blue Devils for his sophomore season, while Arkansas officially introduced former Nevada head coach Eric Musselman today as their new men's basketball coach. Virginia Tech introduced former Wofford head coach Mike Young as their new hoops coach. In baseball, Cubs blanked the Pirates by a score of 10-0, while the Rays were 5-1 winners against the White Sox on Chicago's south side. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of cash on the national championship game coming up later on tonight between Virginia and Texas Tech. We want to let you know we are brought to you by Mako. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Mako today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. So there is a story out there, guys, in which there's a winning ticket on Texas Tech that could pay out a large sum. Steve Fezzik, you break these down better than anybody when it comes to hedging this ticket, how to take advantage of a situation like that. Explain the scenario and how this could work out for this one lucky individual should it take place.
So one better back in the fall went ahead and invested $1,500 on Texas Tech at 200-1. So the ticket is going to pay $300,000 should Texas Tech win the national championship. And of course, now the question that's making the rounds everywhere is, should this better hedge? Should this better bet back on Virginia and lock in a profit on the game? And what's happened in the mainstream media is that the question is, should he hedge or not hedge? Now, the truth is, and I'm speaking as a professional gambler, and we go ahead and maybe once or twice a year find ourselves in this situation. And usually what we do, we don't hedge the whole way. However, we'll go ahead and lock in a nice substantial profit. So in this case, a better stands to make $300,000 if Texas Tech wins it all. What I would recommend, all things being equal, is for him to go ahead and bet not $150,000, a full hedge on Virginia to win the game, but maybe a lesser amount of, say, like $75,000. Make sure you get a good paycheck for your investment.
Yeah, I mean, but the question is going to be, and you know, maybe this guy doesn't fall into this category because he's betting $1,500 on a, you know, future ticket in October in college basketball, but Fez, what percent of the population has $75,000 or $100,000 to hedge. I mean, you got some friends, but they're probably in the same situation as you are. You got to feed the cat, the kids, and, you know, take care of the wife at home. Who has $75,000? Not everyone has a mansion and a yacht, Fez.
You got to be like James Caan and the gambler. You just got to go to your mom, who's a doctor, have her hold the ticket for collateral, whatever. Go to the bank and get the funds, or a friend, I guess.
All right. So, Fez, how can we do this but still sound relatable to everybody listening to this program right now? How can somebody who doesn't have that kind of money use that same strategy moving forward that you've just given out?
Well, realistically, let's say someone doesn't have a lot of cash. Basically, you take whatever small sums you have available and you go all in and bet the other side, and you still only have a partial hedge. So let's say you had a payout of $300,000 and you only have $20,000 to your name. Well, empty the bank account and put the $20,000 on Virginia and at least make sure you get some substantial payout should the ticket on Texas Tech lose.
And the idea being that if you hit Virginia, you're going to get something back. But if you really hit, it's going to be on Texas Tech, and then you've won a bunch of money.
Exactly. You're okay. Ecstatic if Texas Tech wins, and obviously you're morose after Texas Tech loses. So there's no reason not to take all of your liquidity and put it on the other team, because it's still an insufficient hedge compared to your payout that you need.
And Fez, you and I fell into this category in last year's national championship game in college basketball. You and I on Selection Sunday bet Michigan 40-1. The Wolverines ended up making the national championship game. And another part of this is, when should you hedge and when should you not? Now, we didn't have, I can speak for myself. I don't know about you, Fez, but I didn't have $300,000 riding on the line. It was more in the, I think I bet $100, so it was $4,000. And to me, I hedged. Yeah, I went ahead and hedged halfway. Why? Not because I wanted to lock in a profit, but because coming into that game, I'm like, woo, I think Villanova's the play here. Forget winning the game. I think Villanova's going to cover the spread in this game. So therefore, I was comfortable hedging that, you know, 40-1 ticket all the way halfway.
That's a great point. And should it so happen that you have a situation where you've got a big ticket on Team A and you don't even like Team A, you like Team B, the team they're playing in the finals, no reason not to fully hedge in that circumstance.
Yeah, and no, I mean, this all seems like just a great idea, and it seems like you guys really have it all figured out. But for people listening on this show, I just want you to know that somebody on this show is at least somewhat relatable. And so let me take you a little behind the scenes as to what my gambling existence is like. Saturday night, Texas Tech, Michigan State. I'm at dinner with my girlfriend, but I got to scratch the itch because I'm watching the game. It's on one of the TVs, and I just felt like, you know what? I'm going to go on and I'm going to place a live wager on this game. And I was going to bet Michigan State money line. Michigan State to win the game down by, I think they were, it was down by 8 or 10 at one point. It was in the second half. I go on to the service that I use, the account that I use, and I am unable to get a bet in. Now, you may think, okay, well, you just didn't get it in time, or the line was taken off, and look, it worked out in your favor because Michigan State lost the game and you would have lost that bet. No, the reason why I wasn't able to get a bet in is because I didn't have any funds in the account anymore and I had forgotten about it. Okay, so while Steve Fezzik is talking 300 grand and hedging bets, I don't have anything in my account to bet on, not a single cent, and I didn't even know until I tried to place a live wager, and the live wager I wanted to place would have lost anyway.
Has that ever happened to you, Fez? No funds in the account? Or are you just, I don't have any funds in this account, so I have 28 outs, 28 different places I can bet. I'll just go to the other book, right?
You know, yes, but it does happen that I go all in on funds, and typically when it happens, it's the Super Bowl, because back even 5 years ago, it used to be so soft, all the lines that they would offer, and like right before the game kicked off, oftentimes they'd say, oh, I'm going to bet no overtime, and I'll put my last, you know, whatever dollars down on no overtime minus 800, and then all of a sudden, there's live wagering. I'm like, oh, I got no money left in this account.
And it's funny, you were thinking about betting Michigan State at that point, Jonas. That fully, so you're betting, you want Michigan State to win the game when they're down a big number. So that puts you in that category wanting to bet a little to win a lot because Michigan State was a big underdog. I was thinking opposite at that time. I had just saw Texas Tech lead at halftime when their best player, Jarrett Culver, only had 1 point, and Chris Beard is the best coach in college basketball in halftime adjustments. I was unloading on trying to find all the funds in my accounts to bet on Texas Tech in the second half.
Chris Beard and Texas Tech now 9-0 against the spread in second halves, Jonas.
Well, since we're on the topic, this and we're not on the air right now, so I can talk about this freely. But since we're not on the air, I just want to point out also, this is also back in the day, this was my thought process. I would only bet slot machines if it had an attractive woman on the slot machine because I felt like I had better chances. Why? I have no idea. Something I came up with after like 1,500 Bud Lights at MGM's pool, and I thought that was a good idea. The other one was whenever playing roulette, if the ball flies off the table, I take all my money back because to me that's bad luck. What do you think about that, Fez?
You know, it's amazing that these casinos are still in business with this high-level advantage play you've come up with.
Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio, Jonas Knox, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik, RJ Bell is out. But coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio, it is Best Bets time, your chance to make money on tonight's national championship game. Don't go anywhere. It's next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
You can check out the show on the iHeartRadio app. We are going to get to best bets in tonight's national championship game coming up here in just a couple of moments. I am Jonas Knox. RJ Bell is out, but Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik are here alongside me. And guys, let's first take a look. We promise this every day. If there's a nationally televised game that you can wager on, we will hit on it in the final segment of the show. And that game is in Major League Baseball. First pitch a little over 10 minutes from now on ESPN. It's the Yankees at the Astros. The pitching matchup is Masahiro Tanaka and Justin Verlander. Right now on pregame.com, the Houston Astros are a slight favorite. Is there any play in this game, Steve Fezzik?
I am passing baseball completely tonight, Jonas.
Yeah, and see how that works. RJ's not here, and RJ would be giving you such a bad time for passing. You don't have a lean or anything or any kind of handicap in this baseball game?
I'll say I've got the Yankees to go over 97.5 wins against RJ, and RJ's already spending the money with all the injuries the Yankees have had.
Yeah, but your Cubs under bet's looking pretty good, Fez.
Yes, it is.
They're terrible. All right, so guys, speaking of bets against RJ Bell, ooh, Brad Powers has got one on the line, and it enters into the final game of the college basketball season. Brad Powers, what bet did you make with RJ Bell here, college basketball related, and how much is on the line for later tonight?
So I thought I could get throughout this show without mentioning this bet, but I got to say that this is a really, really bad bet. Probably my worst bet I made since I started Straight out of Vegas. About 6 weeks ago, RJ said, hey, take four teams in college basketball. Any one of those four teams, if they win it all, I win. I win $250. Those four teams I took at that time, Virginia, Gonzaga, Kentucky, and Duke, all four of those teams made the Elite Eight. All four were favored in the Elite Eight. Only one team left. It is Virginia. If Texas Tech wins tonight, RJ doesn't win $250 like I would if Virginia wins. RJ Bell wins $1,000 tonight. I took those four teams and I gave RJ 4-1. Horrific bet, Fez.
So effectively tonight you have Virginia on the money line minus 400, risking $1,000 to win $250.
So, horrible bet.
So what bothers you about the bet? Is it the fact that you picked that Virginia is all you got, or that you gave him such big odds at 4-1?
A little bit of both. 4-1 was a bad bet. Probably should have been in the 2-1 range, but I'm not mad at the four teams. You can't do any better than have four teams in Elite Eight. All four are favored, and that's how it turns out sometimes, Jonas.
Hey, you're telling me. I just told you my stories. All right, guys, so let's get to the game itself. In Minneapolis, U.S. Bank Stadium, it is Texas Tech. It's Virginia for all the marbles to cut down the nets tonight in college basketball. Virginia right now on pregame.com is a 1.5-point favorite. The current over-under point total for the game is at 119. Brad Powers, what is your best bet?
So we go from a really bad bet I made with RJ to my best bet here, and we're going in the player props. We just talked about my number one factor in the game is Texas Tech's Tariq Owens. He's going to play tonight, but it looks like that ankle's really bad, and Chris Beard, the head coach of Texas Tech, said, hey, any other game, he wouldn't be playing tonight. So how do we take advantage of Tariq Owens' injury? Can we bet Tariq Owens' player props? Nope. The dastardly bookies took those prop bets down, but what they didn't take down and what we're going to take advantage here is, who is Tariq Owens going to face tonight? Who is he going to be guarding? If Tariq Owens isn't 100%, he's probably not going to be as effective defensively like he usually is. And the player that he's going to be guarding tonight, most likely, Virginia's Mamadi Diakite. That's Mamadi Diakite for Virginia, who's averaged 10.5 points per game in the five NCAA tournament games. For the season, he averages right around 7.5. I think he goes over 7.5 points tonight. Best bet for me, Virginia's Mamadi Diakite player prop over 7.5 points.
Good stuff from Brad Powers there, I would bet it. But, of course, no funds in the account. Steve Fezzik, over to you for your best bet on tonight's game.
I'm going to attack the total. I'm going to go under the 119 points for my best bet. Bottom line is Virginia and Texas Tech have both gotten here and gotten through the tournament with great defense, and I expect no reason to change what they've been doing. Slow the pace, play great defense. Of course, I'm concerned the Texas Tech's rim protector, Tariq Owens, is out. However, I really think that's why this total is 119 instead of 117. I'm going under 119, my best bet.
And not just good defense, Fez. Texas Tech right now defensively has the best defense in the last 19 years, analytics-wise, according to KenPom. Historically good defense.
We mentioned the point total, the over-under earlier in the show, guys. And Brad, you were talking, so in 30-something years, it's the lowest by 10 points, you were saying.
The lowest total we've seen in a college basketball national championship game since Villanova-Georgetown in 85, and that was prior to there being a shot clock, prior to there being a three-point shot. By 10-plus points, this is the lowest total in 34 years.
How much of an overreaction do you guys think this is, that they just assume defense, low points, just by the norm, we just, like, how much of this do you feel is an overreaction on the over-under point total?
I don't think it's an overreaction at all. I think what it is that the odds makers hate, and the bettors, they hate to set any total below 120. The lowest total that's been dealt all year long is 115. In this case, I think this game's only going to get to 115.
If you missed any of today's show, check out the show on podcast at foxsportsradio.com. A full preview of tonight's game. You got a couple hours until tip-off, so make sure you go to foxsportsradio.com for that. The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.